Welcome to Focus on the Community, a weekly program that focuses on issues and events in our community.
Well, happy weekend to you. I'm Frank Rush. Good to have you along. This is Focus on Community. By the way, if you liked any part of today's program, you missed a part, want to go back and listen to it again, or maybe right now is just not convenient for you, that's okay. It's available for you anytime you want as a podcast on our website. You can either stream it or just download it and listen to it when it's convenient for you. Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute, one of our regular guests here, joins us today. Tammy, how you doing?
I'm pretty good. How are you, Frank?
Not bad at all. If folks need to get a hold of you guys, want to see what you're up to and delve into what IYI is all about, you've got a good website that lots of info there, right?
Absolutely. IYI.org, lots of resources, information, probably more data than you ever could want, but it's all there and available for whoever's interested.
And if you happen to have a tablet or you can read it on your phone, it also makes a great bathroom reader too, right? Can I say that on the air?
Sure. Yeah, I guess it's your air. You can say it. Yes, it does work on phones and tablets. I'll say that.
See there, you're optimized for today's world. Hey, I tell you, one of the things we're talking about, and that is we are getting through the pandemic. More and more people are getting vaccinated. It looks like we're getting at least a little bit of a handle on this. We're not out of the woods just yet. But with schools being partially shut down or completely shut down at times over the past year or so, we're dealing with kids who are ready to start thinking about a post-pandemic world, and that's one of the things that your research is focusing on lately.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're starting to get a little bit of information about, you know, a lot of people are talking about learning loss, and all of those changes that everyone had to endure did come at a cost, right? They came at a cost to students and educators and families and all of that, but how do we really know how much? And we're starting to get a little bit of data that particularly on math scores for kids in grades three through eight, there was a 5 to 10% drop. And so, you know, what does that mean? And of course, then when you disaggregate that down to kids of color, Black and Hispanic students and students that are in high poverty schools, that loss got even higher. So what can we do about it? And what are we going to do about it?
I got to think your biggest challenge is just figuring out what it is that we've lost before it's too late. I mean, because as is often the case with a lot of this kind of stuff, you really don't know what happened until it's over and done with. And well, then it's too late. So you're kind of trying to catch this on the fly.
You're 100% right. You know, people will be analyzing the effects on education of the pandemic for years and years. That being said, we really can't wait. I mean, these kids aren't going to sit around in third and fourth grade forever, right? So we need to be trying to get enough information to construct some action steps to help them now, right? And see what we can and should be doing for the rest of the school year and then over the summer. And hopefully then by fall, we'll kind of be back into the routine.
And the other thing is trying to figure out what's most important, recovering what we've lost or keeping pace with where we need to be. Because obviously, if we go back and try to cover the past year and try to make up what we've lost, well, that's all fine and dandy. We'll catch up with the past year, but then we've missed the time that we've got now. I mean, it's you know, you talk about getting on a spinning wheel and running. I mean, you're like the squirrel in the cage running on the wheel, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and that's why some of the early data and research is talking about, you know, what can we do over the summer? What can we do with what they're calling high-intensity tutoring? So it's not like randomly once a week go to a tutor, but really going at a little faster pace right now. And even over the summer, I know the kids that I'm close to, when you talk about that over the summer, they kind of cringe. But there's a lot of learning that happens in summer activities and camps that doesn't necessarily have to be sit in front of, you know, sit in a classroom or even sit in front of a screen that can still help these kids with some of that learning loss.
Well, and speaking of the learning loss, though, some of these programs, let's face it, I even had a story the other day that talked about some summer programs that'll be going on, you know, to try to supplement learning. But, I mean, the kids are going to get kind of tired of having all this crammed down their throat. We have to do it in a way that, I guess, that makes it more palatable for them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so, first and foremost, there's a lot of discussion about that over the summer. Like, you know, you learn a lot by going to the summer camps that have to do with sports. And can you weave in a little more, maybe, data or that information and math in cooking camps, or you know, there's a lot of things that don't have to be, again, sit and get, that are more experiential, that don't feel as much like school or like the remote school that we've had. You know, kids are tired of that, and teachers are tired of that as well. And so how can we shake it up but still be thinking about how are we helping our kids to learn? And a lot of after-school programs are really thinking very creatively about that. In addition, we know that kids miss being around other kids, and there's learning that happens there. So getting them back into those after-school programs and sports and activities where they can even learn some of those interaction and communication skills is going to be really valuable.
But there's a lot of folks that have a lot of apprehension about those after-school programs or those summer camps and that kind of stuff, because again, well, we're all too close to each other, you know, so it's not something that's going to just get turned around overnight.
It's not, but I can tell you, you know, there's a group called the American Camp Association, and it covers a lot of those things, and it's this great resource. They've been working on this now, and they've been super creative. So I'm pretty confident by this summer and a lot of the after-school programs, they've adapted by this point, right? So I think they're tuned into the safety. It was a lot tougher back in the fall, but they've had a few months to get up to speed, and a lot of them are doing incredibly well, and they're paying attention to all of those safety concerns, and at the same time, like you said, more people are getting vaccinated. You know, you don't want to be reckless, but we're getting to a point where we do need our kids to be back together, and then it's safe for them to engage in some of those activities.
Here's an interesting question for you that may just take you blindside you completely. I don't know. We'll see. But have we figured out the fact that technology is not all it's cracked up to be, or have we just not figured out how to use it yet?
Technology for sure. There's so many great things we can do for technology, and there's the saturation point. It's both and, right? Like, we did learn so much so quickly, and hopefully we won't lose that, right? We won't be so fed up with remote meetings and classrooms and all of that we just, you know, turn away from all those learnings. However, that being said, it doesn't substitute for having, you know, being in a room together, and people are missing that, and having those conversations and reading body language and all of those other things that are very important. So hopefully we'll keep some of what we learned, and also we won't have to rely on it to the extent that we've had to this year.
Yeah, because, you know, a lot of these kids figured out that, you know, Chromebooks and all that kind of stuff, all of a sudden when they first got them and first started getting into it, it's like, oh, cool, it's video games all day long.
Yeah.
No, it's not. No, it's just like, you know, you have to get through the peas before you get to the chocolate pudding at the end of the meal. And that's kind of what this is all about.
You are 100%. In fact, I just used that analogy this morning. I said, you know, if you ask a kid, do you want candy for dinner? Their first answer might be yes, the first day. But sooner, I mean, then they don't feel well. They don't have energy. They, you know, their tummy hurts, all that kind of stuff. You do need the main course. You do need, in order to enjoy the extra fun stuff like the video games, kids miss school, and they miss their teachers, and they miss one another. They might not articulate that as clearly, but we're seeing a lot of that there's been a big impact of not having those real time together moments.
You know, we talk about a post-pandemic world, but correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't it going to be just as hard to try to get, I mean, first of all, we're never going to get back to what it was before. I think that's a given.
Correct.
It's just not going to be the same. Doesn't mean we can't try to get some of that back, but it's just never going to be exactly like. So are we still going to have a hard time now converting back as much as problems as we had going? You get what I'm trying to get at here? I mean, we had a hard time converting into what we're doing now, but are we going to have just as hard a time going back in the other direction?
Maybe. You know, we know it's not going to be easy, right? This isn't going to, you know, it's not like in the next few months and over the summer, everyone's going to figure everything out and we're going to be good to go. That being said, people are pretty motivated to find whatever that new normal is, right? And to have some predictability and some consistency. And so there's big motivation out there to figure out what that new, you know, thing is that we can move forward with. You're absolutely right. It's never going to be entirely like it was before. And that's okay. And in some ways, maybe even better. And we've learned a lot. And new technologies, but also new mindsets and approaches and understandings, and that's okay. But I think we're going to see people are pretty motivated to get something that feels more consistent.
I think probably parents now know their kids a lot better than they thought they ever would because they've had to spend a lot more time with them. But is there a way, and I don't know if you guys have anything on your website or if you've studied this, but how do we get a better handle on what our kids are missing? I mean, when they were going to school and everything was kind of quote unquote normal, well, fine, you take a standardized test, you look at the results, and you kind of get a ballpark figure of what they got and what they don't have, what they don't got. And so yeah. Now how are we evaluating what our kids are missing and what we need to focus on? I mean, how do we get that answer?
Yeah, that's great. I always, my first gut response is always trust the educators, right? They have a really good handle on that and are going to be looking at it. In fact, the state legislature there's a bill moving forward right now that would give them more resources to be able to assess and respond just for this one time, right? Not you know, it's a one-time, hopefully, way to address some of these things. That being said, you know, we do need to pay attention to it. And kids have survived and people have survived, you know, world wars and people move and have disruptive life things. You know, I think if we focus on how do we best move forward rather than what's wrong with you or what's missing, right? How do we make you successful? How do we build you up so that you're ready for school next year and you're ready to learn and you're ready to be engaged and that you have what you need? It'll probably work out. I mean, that may sound a little Pollyanna-ish, but I would say let's just let our kids know that we're here to support them and our teachers and educators, right? They've been through a lot. And let's focus on what do we need to do to be successful going forward.
I think everybody has been through a lot. I don't want this to come out to be like, you know, trying to, you know, be apologetic for teachers and educators and everything. But parents and teachers are going to have to kind of work together here, at least for a little while, because you can't just expect your kid to get dumped back into school next fall. And the educators, well, they're just going to make it all right. And I can stop worrying about it. This is going to be something that everybody's going to have to be involved in for quite a while.
You're absolutely right. And, you know, usually about early August, sometimes a little bit even late July, we start talking about get your kids back in the routine, right? Like, don't let them stay up so late. Make sure they're getting up so that it's not this harsh reality when school starts. I think that's going to be more robust this year, right? What does that mean to be ready to go? What does it mean to follow a schedule? What does it mean to be back? You know, my high schooler just went back full time last week, and that's been a transition. They've been doing a hybrid model, and now they're back all the time. And, you know, the first couple nights he came home and he's like, I'm exhausted. And you're like, yep, it's going to be that way for a little while. Like, you know, it's okay to be exhausted for a little while, but we're going to have to lean into it.
And, you know, you're obviously with the Indiana Youth Institute, but I think, too, this whole thing, trying to think about post-pandemic, it's just as important for the parents and the caregivers as it is for the kids, because I think a lot of parents got a real education over the past year.
They did. You know? They don't understand. You know, I mean, how would you if you don't see it every day, all day, and see all that is trying to be achieved in the classroom setting? It's a lot, right? And there's they certainly got a firsthand look at it.
And let's face it, parents nowadays, their lives are extremely busy. They obviously have a hard time allotting enough time, I think, sometimes, you know, reading to their kids after school and all that kind of stuff. I think maybe now they've got a real handle on it's still going to be busy, but this is why now maybe you need to hopefully be just a smidge more involved in your kid's life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's one of those great things I hope we don't lose, right? Is that, yeah, you might not need to be checking in every moment to say, are you logged into the right class and what all that, but we have had a level of engagement with families that maybe wasn't there before. And so let's retain a reasonable level of that. Do they need to be, you know, being the substitute teacher from home? No, absolutely not. But let's find that new happy medium.
And I've only got about a minute or so left here, but how do you guys, like we've talked before, you're data-driven, you do all kinds of research. How are you researching exactly what the effect is, not just on the kids, but on the parents? How are you getting your info on the changing dynamic of the family life at home?
Yeah, that's huge. Way more than a minute. But what I have to say is, you know, we rely on a big network of researchers. And then, quite honestly, Frank, we ask people in our state, right? We do a lot of just tell us what your experience is, and then we try to analyze that. So we rely on everybody out there to tell us, you know, there's great research at the national level and even the regional level. But then we say, tell us in Indiana, how is this impacting you? How is this in Vigo County? Or how is this in your home? And then we can compare the two.
All right. And you're actually doing that research all the time. And if folks want to find out more about what you're up to and see some of the results of what you're up to, I know the latest edition of the Kids Count Data Book that was out here, I don't know, several weeks ago, it's there as well. Head to your website, right?
IYI.org, absolutely.
Tammy Silverman from the Indiana Youth Institute, thanks for being with us today. Appreciate it. This program, of course, as always, posted as a podcast on our website. If you missed any of it, want to go back and check it out again, we've got it there for you. We'll see you again next week.
You've been listening to Focus on the Community, a weekly public affairs program that focuses on issues and events in our community. To be considered as a guest on Focus on the Community, contact us by calling 812-420-2518. Be sure and tune in again next week at this time as we focus on the community.